You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Talk about it's going to be a Shehecheyanu Shir, or a Tu B'Shvat Shir, and to appreciate the question of whether one should say Shehecheyanu on fruits that they could buy if they go to the right store all year long. You want to get strawberries in the middle of December? No problem. You want to get kiwis in the middle of January? No problem. You want to get coconuts in the middle of February? No problem. So do you make a bracha on those? And more than that, let's say, not only do we have imported fruits from the kiwis from New Zealand, v'chadome, and bananas from Ecuador, so we also sometimes use refrigeration. I remember driving up the Bik'ah in Eretz Yisrael from Yerushalayim to Tveria, and along the way, along you sort of driving northwards along the borders with Jordan, and there are huge amounts of date and banana date fields. And if you've ever noticed, there's one place where there is a gigantic refrigeration center for fruits, a fruit refrigeration center the size of like 8 of these buildings put together, just for the farmers to refrigerate their dates so that they could ship them. So you could have these fresh dates that are fresh all year long, not just seasonally. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. But to appreciate the question, I want to learn with you a halacha, a very beautiful Yerushalmi that will put a lot of things in context. This line, this Yerushalmi was first told to me by somebody who is a ski aficionado who travels the world to the most exotic ski resorts in terms of New Zealand and the Swiss Alps. And whenever he's questioned about this habit that he has of going to the most exotic ski resorts in the world, he quotes the following Yerushalmi. The reason why I quoted the Mishnah Berurah first, because so that you realize that this Yerushalmi is cited in the halachas of Birchas Shehecheyanu, which is the Siman Resh Chaf Hei, which we're going to be really working on this sugya of Resh Chaf Hei. And the Mishnah Berurah says, well, let's skip the Mishnah Berurah. Let's see the Yerushalmi itself in source number 2. Yerushalmi, Kiddushin, Perek Dalet, the very last line of the Yerushalmi in all of Maseches Kiddushin. So you don't have to remember the Maror Makom, just open up Yerushalmi to the last line of Kiddushin. This is what the Yerushalmi says. Asid Adam liten din v'cheshbon al kol shirasa enov lo'achal. Based on this, my dear friend, who will remain nameless at the moment, says, I'm going to have to give a din v'cheshbon on every slope, on any mountain, on any sunset that I haven't seen, and therefore it's my duty to fulfill this Yerushalmi, to experience the most incredible mountains and experiences that I could experience, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a beautiful world, and He didn't give it to us just to tease us, He gave it to us to enjoy and to appreciate out of His chesed, and therefore we have a dirach hashbon, and I think the Mefarshim point out that it's in the same way, a Nazir has to bring a korban chatas because he was misagif asma min hayayin, so too, somebody who is asters upon himself or doesn't partake of the tanugim and the opportunities that HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides for him is not appreciating what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to offer. Continues the Yerushalmi, Reb Lazer, Choshash lehadash muasa. He was choshish for this teaching. Umatzmiach lepritin v'achlu b'homi kol mila chada b'shata. So the Korban Eidah explains that he would be gather prutos all year long, and he would gather these bits of money all year so that he could buy a davar hamischadesh pamachas b'shana. So that he'd be able to experience the pleasure of whatever these seasonal pleasures might be. He'd buy himself a fancy fruit every once in a while. It's not pshat that he wanted to. The Korban Eidah is presenting a second pshat. Is the pshat that he wanted to go out of his way so that he could experience this gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides us with? Or no, he wanted to create for himself the opportunity to say a Shehecheyanu and thereby express his hakaras hatov to Hashem. So that's the goal that we want to set out for ourselves. Should we sort of allow ourselves this incredible Maila, this incredible zechus of making a Shehecheyanu, and therefore put ourselves in situations that we eat such fruits that would be mechayev ourselves in Shehecheyanu. The Gemara that's the source of saying Shehecheyanu fruits is actually quite fascinating. In source number 4, Gemara in Erevin, Daf Memam and Beis. We're going to see at least two, if not three, fabulous chidushim about the Berachah of Shachianah from this Gemara. Vamar Rabba. Kevina Be'erav Huni Bailan. We had the following Shaila when we were in the base measure of Huna. Ma'al Omer Zman Bresh Hashanah V'yom HaKippurim. I understand that on Shalosh Regalim we say Shechianu Nicha, but what about saying Shechianu on Rosh Hashanah and on Yom Kippur? After all, they're days of din, they're not just days of simcha, maybe you shouldn't. Came to Mizman, Lizman, Asiyam Rinan, Odilma, came to Lekre Regalim, Lo Amrinan. The Gemara has the two sides of the question, or maybe they're seasonal, and therefore you do say Shechianu, or maybe they don't have a din regal, and therefore there's no Shechianu. So he wasn't sure about the answer. Ki Asoy Be'erav Huda, by Be'erav Yehuda, when they came to the base measure of Yehuda, said the following: Ana akara chadata. On a new kara is probably, what do we have kara when we eat it at the simanim on Rosh Hashanah? What is it? Gourd or a pumpkin squash? So if I would have kara chadata nami amina zman. So let me ask you a question, Rabosa. Halacha lemaisa, right now, do you make a shechianu only on fruit or also on vegetables?
Fruit.
What did the Gemara say that we just read? Kara, gourd, pumpkin, or squash, however you want to translate it, if that is a proper definition. Maybe it's not. But if any of those three are proper definitions of kara, so you see, you do say shechianu on vegetables, which is taka, yes, how the poskim do assume. So yes, a person will say shechianu if they have a bari pri adama that they haven't had in a long time. For example, we'll see explicitly in the Mishnah Berurah later, makes this point, but it is said that the Chazon Ish would make a Shechianu on cucumbers. Cucumber season came around, the Chazon Ish would say Shechianu on cucumbers. I don't know if any of us get so excited about cucumbers, but that will be a discussion I'll have later.
We eat it a whole year.
Yeah, okay, right, we eat it a whole year, we'll see how that plays into the situation. Okay, that's the first fish in this Gemara. What's more important to me is the next three words. After he says that we say a Shechianu on kara chadata, Omer lei, don't bring me a raya from eating fruit, whether or not I should say a Shechianu for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. You can't bring me a raya from fruit because that's just Omer lei rishus lo kami boile. I'm not asking about whether you could, whether you're allowed, whether it's a rishus to make a Shechianu. Ki kami boile chovamai. Are you obligated to say a Shechianu on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Meaning, of course, if you want to, you can. The question is, do you have to, else the din of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, are you obligated to? Now, the conclusion of the Gemara that I don't really care about. What do you see from this Shalka Vitaria? You see that on a bracha, Shechian, on a pri, it's a din of, it's a rishus. And therefore it can't be brought as a raya to whatever the question was. So that means it's a rishus. Now wait a second, if it's a rishus, what does a rishus mean? That means, whenever you have a Shechian on hand, is there a chiv to say Shechian? There's no shkiyah to say a shechianu. If you want to say it, great. If you don't want to say a shechianu, don't say a shechianu. So that changes the playing field in a very significant way because it's never like, maybe I do have to say a shechianu, maybe I don't. Because the whole thing anyway is a rishus. And if I don't want, I don't have to. So if that were to be the case, what, for example, would you think should be the halacha by safek bracha, safek shechianu? Even without the din of safek shechianu, safek bracha is lahaka. You'd say that if it's a rishus anyway, so why should you get yourself into a question of a safek? Avoid it, because then you don't have to do it. That would be how I would read the Gemara, although we'll see soon that the Chasam Sofer does not read the Gemara like that.
Is there a distinction between the vegetables and fruit from this Gemara? It's only on vegetables?
No, this is the only source in Shas, as far as I know, that there is a bracha on a fruit. And the example that's given is not a fruit, it's a vegetable.
Gemara says a
roi pri chadash. Right, so you're saying that would be, it's hard to be mechalik, right? It's hard to be mechalik on between a pri and a hadama.
What's the difference? I mean, well, we have conventions as to what we call things. That doesn't mean halakhically. A fruit is a fruit, and why? A cucumber is not.
Right, so the way the post can assume, Lagabi the bracha.
You have stalks, you have roots, and you have stuff that comes out of the
right,
stalk.
So I think the way the post can assume la halakha is that whether it's an annual or a perennial. Is that the distinction, right? If it grows by itself each year? Or you have to replant it. So for example, banana trees collapse after 2 to 3 years. So therefore, it's not because they grow upside down. What?
So
even though it's a tree and there's a trunk, but it collapses after 2 or 3 years, so that's why it's Hadama.
I know, so we don't call it considered a tree.
But is it a tree?
But
it's Hadama.
You have to come from an age, a tree by definition, or from an age.
Right.
That's what you get. Because
again, not what the scientists will say. Scientists say that tomatoes are a fruit.
Yeah, I was going to say that's something similar.
Right.
But we're talking about, okay, thank you.
So blueberries, for example, blueberries grow on the same bush every year. They're Habari Priya Eitz. Bananas, even though they grow on a tree, the tree collapses, so it's Bari Priya Dama. Right. So I don't think there would be a difference in terms of the Rishus as opposed to Chiyuv, fruit versus vegetables. Okay. Rashi on the Gemara in Erevin, by the way, points out what Mr. Rabinowitz mentioned, that when the Gemara says that I say a Shechiyana when I eat a karachadata, a new gourd or pumpkin, Rashi points out, referencing the Gemara that was just mentioned, that Aro Pri Chadash, a karachadata, Rashi Ksheni Roed Alas Chadash Mishan Lashana Aminuzman. So Rashi sends it to that point. Now, just to, you know, I guess highlight this idea that this whole bracha of Shechen is really only a shush. I just want to show you that it makes it lemais, you know, that it makes it to the big leagues. The Rashba is talking about a kshayla that we don't really have to discuss. But the question of the Rashba is, what happens if you set a Shechianu on the grapes that weren't yet really ripe yet, and now you now the grapes are ripened, and maybe they're even dried out into raisins? Should you make another Shechianu on that same grape? Says the Rashba, Tshuva Mistavrasha in source number 5, Shut HaRashba Chelak Avsim Reshnun, Mistavrasha Ikr Him HaNovim. That we really follow what the Ikr Pri is, and since in the end it's going to be a grape or a raisin, we shouldn't, you know, we should really just make the bracha on the raisin. And here the next point is the main point. Brachos elu, brachos shel rishus hein v'lo chova. The whole enterprise of saying Shechianu on fruit is only rishus, nothing more. Now, last week we talked about tefillin. And we talked about how to put on tefillin if a person has to start davening before Misha Yakir. And I was very excited to be able to make that shayach to our discussion of Shechianu. How? It's explicit in the following tour. The tour talks about the bracha that we mentioned last week. We saw there's a gemara that says that Bnei Marav, the Yidden in Eretz Yisrael, used to make a bracha when they would remove their tefillin. They would say, says the tour in Aruch Chaim Hilchas Tefillin Simur Chav Tes, that we pass the lo yivarech asher kedisham v'sasav v'tzivah l'shmar chukav, that special bracha l'shmar chukav kishim asirin. Because we don't pass in Shein Halach Kibbenei Marava, because they would make the bracha when they would take it off. Because they held Lila's Lav's Man Tefillin, so therefore there's a Chiyuv, as we learned, there's an Assay to remove the Tefillin, to, when they fulfill the Assay of removing the Tefillin, because of the Pasuk Yamim Yamima, which we learned last week, so to fulfill that Assay of removing the Tefillin because Lila's Lav's Man Tefillin, they'd make a bracha. But we don't pass in like that, because we hold that Lila is Zman Tefillin, and we don't make a bracha. That's just background. The next line is the important line. V'ro'isi kasa shir Rav Haigon. Rav Haigon says, you know this bracha that I just told you don't really make, we don't make, just sort of the Bnei Marava they make? Says Rav Haigon, harashus biyado, im yirtzi levarech mevarech. Rav Haigon has a funny shita. He says, it's an optional bracha. If you want to make this bracha of taking off the tefillin lishmar chukov, you're welcome to, but you don't have to. He asks the tour of Anitama. How could that be? Devadi, kem shenu chay levarech mevarech, have you bracha levatala? Where do we see that if you want to make a bracha, go ahead and make a bracha? If you don't have to make the bracha and you do make it, that's an isidaraisa of bracha levatala. Isidaraisa, drabanan, losisa, shem hashem kol chashav. So now, the Bach is going to say something fabulous. The Bach, to answer up this tour's kasher of Haigon. Again, Rav Haigon is saying that you're allowed to make this bracha whenever you want, lishmar chukav. You don't have to, but if you want to, go ahead, you can make it. The question is, the Torah says, what do you mean? If it's an optional bracha, don't make it. So the Bach is going to say an incredible chiddush. The Bach is going to say that there is, at least in the world of Shechianu, he's going to say, is different than all other brachas in the world. The Bach is going to say that, you know where our Gemara said that the Gemara in Erevin that we saw in source number 4 that it's only Rishus. Where do we say that there's a cast of Rishus? Only by a bracha like Shechianu. Because by a bracha of Shechianu, the whole idea is that you're just expressing, it's not a birchas hamatir that's matir the achila, presumably. It's a shevach, but it's a shevach that you're happy about a certain momentous occasion. And therefore, says the Bach, Shechianu is different than all other brachas in the world. All other brachas in the world, it's either yes or no. If it's yes, make it. If not, if it's not, if you're not chayv to make it, it's a bracha vatala. Says the Bach, when it comes to Shechianu, there, let's see what the Brach says. We could look at the second paragraph. Mashtir says that right, the Torah said that if you're not obligated definitively, it's a bracha v'atala. This is the aval hechadika safek. That's the one teretz that how a person can make a bracha on Shechianu if it's a safek, because the Gemara before is mesupik. And says about Nevelesa, because the Pirash, the Besavik Nami also Levarach Mishim Savik Bracha Vatala. When there's a Savik, of course you can't make brachas. Penny over, right? It's a violation of a Bracha Vatala. So at page number two, the underlined lines. Fanny is Daiti Nira, that there are two different kinds of brachas in the world. There's Shechianu, and there's the rest of the brachas entirely. Diikal Chai bin Birchas Shechianu, Lishar Brachas. The Birchas Shechianu. Sheba al simchas libo shel adam, yachol levarich af al pi. Look at the next two words. She'eno vaday dechayv levarich. Shechianu. Even if you're misupik on a Shechianu, if you have a suffik bracha Shechianu, you can make a Shechianu. Because what's the whole point of Shechianu? You're not over al otisim who sameach. Umevarich leisal al Shechianu kiyom rad. That's man is there. If you're happy for whatever reason it is. And you want to express your HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you've reached this point that you're happy about, so you can make the bracha. And therefore, even though it's a suffik bracha, you can make a Shechianu. And that's why, on one hand, suffik bracha, Shechianu, the Gemara says, it's a reshus, you can make it. And the Bach is saying, not just it's a reshus, but because it's a reshus, therefore, suffik brachos will also be that you can make a Shechianu. The Gemara didn't really say that. The Gemara just said that it's a reshus. But the Bach is taking that since it was a suffik, you're allowed to make it even if it's not, if it's, that you're allowed to make it even though it's a suffik. That's an extension of the Bach. Now you should just know, the Prima Gamma said that this Bach is crazy, it's absurd. How could you say that on a suffik bracha, you're going to make a bracha?
So according to Bach, if you made it or not, you should make it.
Let's not talk about it. You're talking about that if you forgot if you made it. I'd rather not talk about that case. I'd rather talk about a simpler suffix. If you're not sure if a lease, you know that you buy a car, I bought myself a new Lexus, so I'm going to make a bracha. But I'm only leasing it. Do I make it or not? I don't know. I call the rabbi. It's too late at night. I can't know the rabbi. The rabbi's not home. I can't call the rabbi. So should I make a bracha on a lease or not? It's a suffix. I'm very excited. I'm going to have 2 years driving this new Lexus, so I will make the bracha according to the Bach. Says the Prima Goddam. It's crazy, this Bach is a Pella, he says, and therefore we don't pass like this. But I just wanted to show you how seriously the Bach takes this Gemara of Rishus and says that even when it's a Safek, you're allowed to make a Shechianu, Misafek, Mamish a Shechianu, Misafek, where in any other Brach in the world there would be a Brach Levatola Mamish, perhaps this is the Raisa, but when it comes to Shechianu, fart, you're happy. You're appreciative that you reach Shechianu Kiyamanu, Lezman Hazeh. Now, I want to go on a little bit of a tangent, only because it's No, not the next point will be the tension. Now we're going to continue. I want to get the understanding of what is the nature of Shechianu, what is it actually that we're expressing HaKadosh Baruch Hu for, and therefore that's going to help us be able to paskin when we will or will not say Shechianu in numerous cases. So let me start with the Baal HaMor, which is not in the sources. Baal HaMor in Hilchos Sefiras HaOmer, famous Baal HaMor, I mentioned it in the downstairs one time. Baal HaMor says that when do you make a Shechianu? He's coming with the following kasha. How come that by Sefiras HaOmer, we do not say Shechianu? Says the Baal HaMor, you don't say Shechianu on Sefiras HaOmer because Ein Ze Elo Davas Nafshenu Al Churban Beis Mikdashenu. The whole point of Sefiras HaOmer is what? To count from the bringing of the Korban HaOmer. We don't have a Korban HaOmer, and therefore, when we count Sefiras HaOmer now, it's just a Zecher. I wish we had a Korban HaOmer. In other words, it's a sad mitzvah. Sefiras HaOmer is a sad mitzvah. And therefore, you don't make a Shechianu. Hooray, I got to this point on a bracha, on a mitzvah, that's it. That's what the Baal HaMor says. The Rashba that we're going to see now is going to say, absolutely not, that's not Pshan Shechianu. Shechianu has nothing to do with being Simeach, has nothing to do with Simcha. And with that, he's going to answer the following question. Does a person say a Shechianu on a milah? So, we spoke about this once also, and we pointed out that it's a machlokas, it's Israel, and Chutz La'aretz. Let's see the Rashi inside. Shalta, imavarchin shechiyana al hamila. V'chei mishno lo ben imavarchin shechiyana. Do you say shechiyana if you have a baby boy? It's actually funny, because the way halacha lemaisa comes out is that for a boy we do not say shechiyana, but for a girl, lemaisa, the Mishnah says that you could say a shechiyana, which itself, maybe we should talk about next week, say shechiyana when you have a girl, because what's the shaila? The shaila is, there's a sif in the Shulchan Aruch, it's a Gemara that says, Mishal Aras, Chavero, whatever, you say Shechiyanu. So, therefore, the Mishnah Berurah says, if you haven't seen your friend in a year, you're going to say Shechiyanu. 30 days or a year, you're going to say Shechiyanu. Certainly, or your Yikonon Eved, you say Shechiyanu. Certainly, if you have a baby, which is presumably more exciting than that, you should say Shechiyanu. And based on that, there are poskim who say when a baby is born, a shechiyanu is recited. Now, not a boy because of a different reason. since the boy brings helps out in the fields and helps numerous people, you say hatov hametiv, and whenever there's a hana to a lot of people, more than one person switches from shechiyanu to hatov hametiv. But we're not going to that. But at least the girl is not going to work in the fields, and it's just the fact that you're happy there's a girl born, but she's not necessarily going to bring the toilet to the people around her, she's not going to be working in the fields and making money, then there's no hatava metiv, you should say shechiyanu. But I saw some of the poskim reject it and say, no. It's only when you speak, there's a discussion in the poskim, when you, somebody who you knew and you haven't seen, then there's a certain simcha that's brought when you see them again. But somebody who you've never seen, a pen pal, for example, and you're excited to meet a pen pal, then you wouldn't say shechiyanu, so maybe it wouldn't apply to a birth. But that's a different sugya, maybe we could talk about that another time. What's the halacha here about bris milah? So what's the famous answer? Why don't we Ashkenazim and Chutzlars, why don't we make a shechiyanu in on a bris milah?
Pain of the day.
Pain, right? That's what everybody says, right? Wrong. Says the Rashba. Tshuva, mistabed the kol shenol lo ben tzarech levar shechiyanu, lo shor ha'isi no, shenol gukein. It makes sense that we should make shechiyanu, but no one does. V'shem ha'asur rishus. Oh, maybe it's because, we'll get to the pain in a second. Maybe, says the Rashi, you know why the minhag is not to make a shechiyanu? Because shechiyanu is only, what did we learn in the Gemara in Erevin? Anyway, it's only rishus. So, again, forget the bach that we just said, that when it's a safek, you could do it anyway. If it's only rishus, what do you do if you're not sure about it? It's something, you don't have to do it, it's only optional. And you're not sure if you should do it or not. So you avoid it. Shema asu rishus. Kekarachad, like the new gourd of pumpkin that you see, it's not obligatory.
What are you sure?
Fine.
What's the definition of being sure? That you are sure you have to make a shechiyanu?
The halacha states that this is something. When I buy a car, I know that you have to make a shechiyanu. When I lease a car, I don't know.
And when I have a baby, when I have one of you,
the bris, it says anyway. Hold on. Fine. Let's skip to the second underlying line. Aval al hamila ein omrim zman. For bris mila, you should not say shechiyanu. Umihu ein hatam machmas isle tzairu liyunuka kumosh amarta. Who's amarta? You. Everybody in the shir. Everybody thinks that we don't make a shechiyanu because it's tzairu liyunuka, says Rashi, but no, that's not the reason. Where do you, yes, have that svara? Shlonemar tam ze elu bibircha shasimcha b'ma'o. No. We do have that svara, but in the context of a different bracha. As far as shechiyanu, the fact that we're bitzar doesn't make or break a chiyuv of shechiyanu. Aval birchas shechiyanu, this is the key line. Ein atluya b'simcha. Remember I told you the Baal Amor? Baal Amor says that there's no shechiyanu sfiras to Omer. Why? Because it's not a simcha dika mitzvah, it's a sad mitzvah. So here he's arguing. He's saying, no, don't say like the Baal Amor that's telling on simcha. Shechiyanu, and this is the key line. This Rashba is telling us that shechiyanu is recited on an occasion from which you derive benefit. Rabosai, do you derive benefit from giving your son a bris milah? A practical, tangible benefit? I'm not talking about schar na'olam haba. You don't receive any practical benefit from a good tasting fruit or vegetable. You benefit from, so you make a shechiyanu. Giving your son a bris milah, you don't have any practical benefit. It's not a dovah shemagilo toelas, and therefore you're not going to say a shechiyanu. And he brings the most incredible raya. I mentioned to you this morning. How do we see what's the best raya that Shekhinah has nothing to do with simcha, but rather it has to do with a tangible benefit? What happens, Rachmana Litzlan, somebody passes away, and the son gets a Yerusha. What's the halacha? Dayan ha'emes, ayvei, the father passed away, and then? Shekhiyonu v'kimonu v'gyonu l'azman hazeh, that I got a Yerusha. Is he b'simcha right now? Absolutely not. That's the Rashba's proof, that Shekhiyonu has nothing to do with simcha, rather it has to do with a toelis, a tangible benefit. He just got $100,000, or $1 million, $10 million. And therefore, that tangible benefit is what's the mechayev, is mechayev, Hashem. That's why when there's Yerusha, there is a Shekhen recited. Okay, that's in terms of understanding what the mechayev of Shekhen is. Now I want to go into a very gishmaka tangent that is not necessary for us to figure out what to do with fruits, but it's a very gishmaka chasim sofer. And the chasim sofer is dealing with is not really telling us halachas, but he's trying to explain away a minhag. Apparently the minhag in certain communities was that the kala, when she goes to the mikveh for the first time, before her chasana, she would make a bracha of shechiyonah for going to the mikveh. And the shaila was, is this a proper minhag or is it not a proper minhag? So the chasim sofer says, you know, you probably shouldn't, but he's going to try to give a very fabulous limud zechus on why those who have the minhag to that those communities that women do say shechiyonah before they go to the mikveh, why they should. In the context of that discussion, which we'll see right now, he knocks away what we assumed for the past 10 minutes. For the past 10 minutes, we assumed that shechiyonah is an optional. The Gemara said it's a rishus. The Chasam Sofer here says, when it says rishus, it doesn't mean that shechiyonah is like, oh, I want to make shechiyonah, go ahead, make it. Oh, I don't want to say shechiyonah, don't make it. Look how the Chasam Sofer says. He says it's a little bit more nuanced. There's no such thing as you want to make a bracha, but you don't, you know, do make a bracha if you want to be like that. In the second paragraph of source number 9, Vanir Lani is Daiti, Mashikosav Chazal, Bebrich HaShechion Rishus, Einen Rishus Levarich Bracha Levatol. It's not like, oh, if you want to go ahead and make a, you can make a Bracha Levatol. There are, by the way, there are more source sheets if you want to, Safi, if you want to pass us the source sheets then, if anybody wants. You can't just choose to make it or not make it. What are we doing with Bracha Levatolas? Says the Chasam Sofer, I'll tell it to you outside. The Chasam Sofer says that there are certain things that are defined as simcha. Certain things that are not defined as simcha. If something's not defined as a simcha, you're not going to make a shechiyonah on it, whether you want to or not. If something is defined as a simcha, let's say, for example, eating new fruits is a simcha. But when I eat a new cucumber, I'm not like the Chazmish. I don't get excited. There, says the Chasam Sofer, if you don't get excited from a cucumber, there you have the rishus to not say shechiyonah. But if you do get excited from a cucumber, you have the chiyuv to say shechiyonah on that cucumber. So all the word rishus means, it doesn't mean that you ever have the choice to make it or not make it based on what I want. Never, says the Chasam Sofer. That's not what the Gemara in Erevin said when it says that shechiyonah is a rishus. It just means that when that there are certain scenarios that are subjective. But if you are happy at whatever thing you are experiencing, and Chazal see that for like eating fruits, for example, and you are happy about it, you are obligated in Medina to say shechiyonah. So that whole possibility that we were entertaining before, that, hey, just be makel anyway, it's all rishus, so just avoid the rishus, Chasam Sofer said, no, that's not what the word rishus means. Now, in this context, he sets down a tremendous chiddush to explain why maybe a kala should say shachem before she goes to the mikveh. He says the following in the third paragraph, nearly hachra sefer pritoar, shakomi, the second underlined line in the source, when you start off with a new chiyuv, then maybe a shechiyonah should be recited. Not when you're doing a mitzvah that you have never done before. No, no, no. That's not correct. That's not the right way to say it, that you never did this mitzvah before. But you're embarking on a new chiyuv ha-mitzvah. So therefore he's going to say that when a woman, let's start with a bar mitzvah boy, he's starting his chiyuv of mitzvahs. He's about to put on tefillin, starting to get a chiyuv of tefillin. So he should say a Shech Yonu, he becomes bar mitzvah. Not for the mitzvah of tefillin that he never fulfilled before, but for the onset of the chiyuv of the mitzvah of tefillin. And all chiyuvim that come from here on. Again, it's not a making a bracha on the mitzvah of tefillin. It's a mitzvah, a bracha on the chiyuv. It's a chinuch, milashon, not milashon teaching, but milashon Chanukah, Sabayis, an inauguration of the chiyuv. And therefore, says the Chasam Sofer, Gval Gavart. Chasam Sofer says, women don't put on tefillin. So why don't we mechanech a woman in her chiyuvim? Well, what are a woman's chiyuvim? Nida chala, alakas haner. So presumably, which one of these comes first? Presumably, going to the mikvah before she's married, it comes before the other three. And therefore, in the same way, a bar mitzvah boy is going to say a shechianu, not on the mitzvah tefillin, but on the his chanchus of the chiyuv of mitzvahs that he's embarking on. So too, perhaps, says the Chasam Sofer, as a limud zechus, for those communities where the women would say a shechianu before they would go to the mikvah for the first time, that's her chinuch, that's her kilu delayed bar mitzvah, bas mitzvah, whatever you want to call it, and that's her chinuch in the mitzvah of an isha, and just like a bar mitzvah boy should make on his Nuchi of Sota, that where perhaps that's where this minhag to say Shachianu on a woman's first tevila. Okay, so now we understand that Rishus of the Gemara Ne'erim doesn't really mean a Rishus. So life is not as flexible as it had been until now, according to the Chasam Sofer, and you really have to decide, is there a Chiyuv to say a Shachianu, or is there not a Chiyuv to say a Shachianu? According to the Chasam Sofer, if you're not excited about the fruit, you should make a Shachianu. Yeah.
No, you should not.
You should not, correct, you should not. I mean, look, between you and me, it's not good for this shir, but that which we say is Shachianu on Rosh Hashanah, even if you didn't have any fruit, you didn't have any new ties, you still say Shachianu, or else the Yom. But it's a suffix, so we try to be machmir to have other mechayvim as well.
Isn't there a distinction between what type of Shachianu?
Yes. Yeah, that was the Chasam Sofer said that in between lines that I said. Yeah, the other lines. Yeah.
So when we're talking about the Shechion on the Yantiv,
but he's talking about the fruit,
which is the group which stops after the Yantiv, really.
Nah, we're just trying to do different apples with the same bracha to knock off both. Okay. So, as we mentioned before, the Gemara tells us, not the Gemara that I quoted, the other Gemara says, and Hara Pri Chadash, Mivarech Alav Shachianu, and Rashi said, when you see it, look at the rush. Does anyone say a bracha when you go into a gourmet glat a week before Rosh Hashanah, you see this crazy looking dragon fruit with spikes coming out all over, and it's like bright green and purple and yellow? Do you make a bracha when you walk into a gourmet glat? No. You wait till your Rosh Hashanah table, and you say Shachianu then. What do you mean? But the Gemara says, Haroa Pri Chadash, Zot the rush. In Masechas Erev and Gimel Siman Yud, in source number 10, Nagu ha'olam l'kva ha'bracha b'shasha ochel mimin ha'chadash. The next line I really don't understand. If anyone has pshat, I'll appreciate it. Says Rash, how come you don't make a bracha when you see it, like the Gemara says, but excuse me, rather when you eat it? Kamo shehechiyona da'asiyas lula v'suka shekovin b'shas kiddush hayom. Just like theoretically, you could say a Shechianu when you are ma'age the lulav, and when you build the sukkah, you could say a Shechianu. The Yerushalmi says, go ahead and make your Shechianu when you build a sukkah. But we don't do that. We do it when we sit in it. So too, even though you could theoretically say the bracha of Shechianu when you see the food in gourmet glat, we wait till you eat it. I don't really get what his raya from Lula and Sukkah.
Generally, the svar of roa is because these are referring to farmers who see the first fruits of their trees, so there's tremendous.
What's the difference between a farmer who's. Oh, you say there's more of a simcha because he's excited about it.
Same thing with the Sukkah. We don't make the Shechianu, we're sitting in the Sukkah. You don't make the Shechianu on the fruit until you eat the fruit. Not when you see the Sukkah, you're building the Sukkah. So when you're sitting in it, you're doing the mitzvah. That's what I mean.
So doing the mitzvah is
like eating the fruit. When I'm doing
I would like to hear something more substantial. I hear what you're saying. I think that has to be. I think that's just.
Why make a shechianu before kiddush?
What?
Why not make a shechianu before kiddush when you're eating the sukkah? It's the yeshiva sukkah. That's right away. Nobody does that.
That's going to be another shir. Whether you say shachar, we didn't talk about tonight whether you say shachar before the bracha, samach to the, let's say you're eating a new fruit, right? So you make the shachar right before you eat the new fruit or before the bracha. Meaning, what goes first, bari pri eitz or shachiyano or shachiyano then bari pri eitz? That's a different shir. Maybe next week or in 2 weeks or something. Okay, so let's skip to source number 13. Now we're going to start getting into the sugya that we really are aiming towards. We have the background, we understand the bracha shechina, we understand the rishus doesn't really mean rishus, we understand it's really on, it's also on vegetables, we understand that it's only on shas achila, not on shas ri'ya. But now let's talk about the issue that we want to talk about. Let's say you have a fruit that really you could get all year long. So will you say shachiyana? So it says the Beis Yosef, and we'll see the conclusion of the Beis Yosef articulated more clearly than the Shulchan Aruch in the next source. Says the Beis Yosef. Kos b'shem shirugon, she'em avarach en shachiyano, ela al dover ha-mischadesh mizman uzman. Aval dover she'en ha-mischadesh, afil yesh yom shlo achal, eino mevarach. Let's say it's been 7 years since you ate a potato. Let's assume, I think it's fair to assume that potatoes in America are available and they grow all year long. I don't know if that's true or not. Let's say potatoes grow all year long and they're available all year long. But I haven't eaten a potato in 7 years. Okay, let's make it a little more exotic than a potato. Let's make it a sweet potato. Okay? So I haven't eaten a sweet potato in 7 years and I love sweet potatoes. So am I going to make a shachianu? Absolutely not. What happens if I was in Eretz Yisrael for the past 7 years, learning in Kol and Eretz Yisrael for the past 7 years, I come back to America, the one thing that I can't wait to get back for is to see my mother and to eat sweet potatoes. Doesn't change anything. It's the fruit. It has to be bami zman lezman. The fact that you didn't partake in it in many years, that doesn't change diddly squat about the chiyuv of shechina. That's not a mechayiv. The fact that you haven't done something for 7 years, that's not a mechayiv. The chayv is that the fruit is a fruit that comes mizman lezman. That's what this line in the smach said.
Because of refrigeration and distribution methods today.
That we'll get to. We'll talk about refrigeration.
I never saw blueberries in the winter when I grew up.
Right, so that we're going to build to that. That we'll get there soon. Okay. Now, once we're talking about something that is mischadesh yearly, I mean, it only comes out in the spring or summer like most fruits do. What happens if there's a two crops a year? In the second paragraph of source 13. That also maybe could be considered maybe you could say shechiyano twice a year. What's an example of something that has two seasons a year? I don't know. Any ideas? What?
Wheat.
Right. Yeah, but I don't want to get into wheat because
we plant
everything. Yeah, but bread anyway, that's not our sugya, but bread has a different set of halachas for shechiyano in terms of wheat products. We're not gonna go into that. Okay. And then let's see the last line of source number 13. Right after the three dots. Because of Reb Manoach. Anyone know who Reb Manoach and Sefer HaMenucha is? I don't know I'm not familiar with the Sefer. I don't know. I googled it. Nothing, I didn't find anything. Okay. Mistabra dal esev hamischadesh, einu mevarech. You don't make a bracha on grass that grows anew. Sharei pe'amim sheyachol hiskayim kol hashana. Mashein ke bekaro ushar peros haaretz v'ha'etz. And this is a very important line. There's a difference between grass that could stay on the ground. If you look on some of the lawns around here, even though, well, we'll see what happens next week after the snow, but there's green grass all year long. Or at least grass. I don't know how green it is. Let's assume there's green grass all year long. As opposed to fruit, which will simply not last all year long. And therefore, even if you would eat the grass, let's say, you would eat the grass, you'd have some kind of, I don't know, sushi, seaweed, nori, food, you would not make it because it stays all year long. So if we stopped here, if we had to paskin based on this last line of the Beis Yosef quoting this Rabbeinu Manoach, it sounds like if it's not mischadesh, I have it all year long, it grows. Now let me rephrase it. Even if it is mischadesh, every year it grows again every spring, but it stays green all year. Last year's stuff is still around. Even if it is a davar hamischadesh misham lashana, But since it stays around intact all year long, it does not warrant a bracha. So if that would be the case, let's start thinking. Let's say I have these refrigerated dates, right? Refrigerated dates, even if they do grow certain times of the year, but they're around all year long, they're available all year long, it sounds from this that I would not make a bracha. That's if that's what I would think at this point. Now we're going to see these mishaburas, and then we're going to finish with Ramosha's psak, and we'll finish for the evening. Let's go through this mishabura together. Let's see source number 4, source number 15, the Rama in Resh Chaf Hei Sif Vav. And this is going to be the source where we're going to figure out what to do with fruits that are available all year. It's going to basically quote the halakha that we saw, but it's going to change a tiny letter or word. Prisham is chadish beis palmim b'shana. Mevarach alav shechianu. You say it's shechianu twice. Aval, she'en lo zman kavu l'gidulo, ein mevarach alav. If something doesn't have a set time that it comes into the, you know, that it re-emerges, it does not get a new shechianu. L'chein, ein mevarach shechianu al yerek chadash, to omeid kol hashana b'karka. Omeid kol hashana b'karka. If you look back at the Sefer HaManoach that we read at the end of source number 13, look at the words a little bit carefully. He says, after Sefer Menuchah in parentheses, he says that on Esef HaMischadish Enu Varesh Harei Pa'omim Sheyachol Hiskayim kol hashana, it could remain extant all year long. And the Ramah quotes it in a different way. He said it's omeid kol hashana b'karka. What are those words, omeid kol hashana b'karka? So, the Magen Avraham has two pshatim. Maybe it just means, like I was explaining, omeid kol hashana b'karka means it stays on the ground, grass grows, and grass grows on the ground all year long. Since grass grows all year long, you don't make another bracha on it. Now I'd like to show you another pshat in the, I'm sorry, I'll turn to the last page. Omeid kol hashana b'karka. You don't make a bracha on something that is grow that is available all year round. Top line, Ratzulam Shiyesh Yerk Shadarku Lamod Kol Hashana Bekarka, and therefore it's not Bamizman. It's not. You don't make a bracha. Now look at this. Magen Avraham. He's quoting the Mishabura, quoting the Magen Avraham. He says a nupsha. He says, what is it? You remember the Ramah changed one word. He didn't say that it's miskayim. The item is miskayim. He said it's bekarka. You know what the Magen Avraham says in the second pshat? Bekarka means that people bury it in the ground. Something that people bury in the karka, that's considered that it's around all year long and therefore you should not make a new bracha on it. Let's see that inside. Yesh lefarish od in the third line of on page 4. The Kavanas Rama Hainu, when the Rama said that this thing like grass is miskayim kol hashana bekarka, it doesn't mean that it's sitting on the ground, it's growing on the ground. Hainu shemat minim also bekarka beboros. They preserve it. They put it in the basement, they put it in a refrigerator, they put it in a freezer. They put it underground, and that's how it's miskayim. And that's not something that you can make a bracha on. According to this Magen Avraham, you see something incredible. You see that even if something is grows only once a year, it reemerges every spring, but you maintain it somehow, artificially, by burying it somewhere, or by, I'm extending it, by putting it in a fridge or a freezer, it does not get a bracha. It does not get a bracha.
Dry fruits.
Let's leave dry fruits out for now, because dry fruits is a different sugya. Maybe we'll talk about it next time. Yeah, let's talk. It's a different sugya for whatever reason. let's leave it out for now. If we stop here, but by the way, let's just see the last line of this Mishnah Brura on the top of page 4, right before 16, just because it's very geschmack. Almine lifton shekorn merin v'ribin v'ugerkes. What's merin?
Carrots.
Ribin. Rubia. What's rubia?
Peas.
Peas. Thank you. Black-eyed peas. I think my son Frione says. And ugerkes. Those are gherkins or cucumbers. Mevarach nolein shechianu. Fine. Like I told the Chazon Ish. He used to say shechianu cucumber. According to Mishnah Brura, okay, fine. So if everyone's excited, go ahead. Most of us, I don't think, will get excited. The Pesukim say that most of us don't get so excited from carrots and from and from cucumbers. Now, I want to share with you, we're not going to read it inside, I want to share with you an incredible Igros Moshe. If we stopped now, we'd be assuming that, according to this new reading of the Ramah, that anything that stays on the ground, that's in the ground for a whole year, you don't make a bracha on. This new reading is that people put it in the ground. Not just that it's grass which just stays on the ground all year, it doesn't get a bracha. But if something that comes yearly, emerges anew yearly, but people put it in the ground, it also doesn't make a bracha, get a bracha. Now Rav Moshe is going to say an incredible, incredible chiddush. He's going to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made two kinds of things in the world. Potatoes and strawberries. Your Alta Zayda lived on potatoes. Right? How does the song go? Montig. You know the song? This song is a Yiddish song that I used to know. Sunday was potatoes, Monday was potatoes, Tuesday was potatoes, Wednesday was potatoes, Sunday was potatoes, Shabbos was fried potatoes. Okay, so the year before the Israeli, I guess it's also. Okay, very good. So says Rav Moshe, listen to this incredible Chiddush of Rav Moshe, and I think it's a gigantic Chiddush, I don't think it's the Pashas, listen to this Chiddush of Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe says, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to subsist on potatoes, and he talks about potatoes specifically, but potatoes only grow once a year. So how does Hashem want us to live on potatoes if they only grow once a year? What is Hashem expecting of humanity to do? To put them in the refrigerator, to put them on the ground, to preserve them. Therefore, since Hashem is giving us a staple and expecting of us to preserve them, that which they are preserved is as though it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu continuing the growth, their gidul. And therefore, they're not new, and therefore you can't make a shachrianu. As opposed to strawberries. Strawberries, which you could put in the refrigerator also for, let's not talk about strawberries. What could you put in the fridge for cucumbers and carrots, right? Which you do make a shachrianu. You could live without these fancier fruits. Apples you could keep in a refrigerator for months and months and months. But since we don't need apples to live on, so therefore we won't consider it that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us apples, that they have to be, that since you have to live on them, you Mela have to preserve them. No. Apples don't have to be preserved. If you want to have an apple at a weird time of the year, that's your thing. But it's not that it has to be like that, because we don't subsist on apples.
But in other parts of the world, potatoes are not a staple.
Fine. Rice.
Rice.
In China it would be rice. The same thing would be by rice. 100%. But in our parts of the world where all these more exotic, not even so exotic, even an apple and an orange, are not basic staples of consumption, says Rav Moshe, if you, for whatever reason, want to preserve it, put it in a fridge, put it buried underground to keep it for a long period of time, you can't say that it's part of the Bria as though HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it that way, and therefore it's a giddel of that's a giddel that's an all year long giddel. No, it grew at one point in the year, and you, crazy Americanish, you know, mafunuk, wants to preserve it for the rest of the year. That's your problem. That's not like HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it. And therefore, based on this, Rav Moshe comes out with an incredible chiddush, and he says that when you preserve something, if it's a staple like potatoes, it's as though HaKadosh Baruch Hu preserved it, and therefore it's around all year, you will not make a shachrianu. However, if you have something like dates, or like oranges, or like apples, which are not staples to the human diet, you choose to preserve it, it's not like HaKadosh Baruch Hu preserving it all year, and therefore it is something that is only that is bami zman lozman, and therefore mikra hadin, you can, this is the maskana of Rav Moshe, one can say a shachrianu on a fruit, but not on a potato. Even if that they both are refrigerated for a whole year, because fruits that are refrigerated for a whole year, that's you who are refrigerating for a whole year. As opposed to potatoes which are refrigerated, it's as though, since Hashem expects it to be a staple of your diet, it's as though HaKadosh Baruch Hu is refrigerating it, because He expects it as a staple of our diet, and therefore it is the continuation of its gidul, instead of being on the plant, it's in a fridge on the ground. And that's an incredible chiddush. You see how complicated the svara is. That's incredible. So therefore, Moshe comes out halach l'maisa, that if there's something that's kept refrigerated all year, you can say a shafion on it, unless it's something like a potato or rice, which is a basic food, basic staple, you will not. Just to finish off with one, what we talked about tonight was really the shaila of fruits that are available all year. What about stuff that's brought from other countries? That we didn't talk about, that Moshe does. And we'll finish with this. There's a beautiful sefer of Zos HaBrachot. This is the old version. There's a new one in gray. So he's very halach l'maisa. And he says, I didn't have a chance to get into the tshuvas in this. He says that following the Beis Yosef that we saw earlier, that we only say Shachiyon on Sunday as Bami Zman L'Zman. Just because it's, that means, if you have, let's say in New Zealand, kiwis are growing all year long. Then, if they bring a kiwi to me in America, I don't care what time of the year it is, since it's around all year long in that original country, I can't make a Shachiyon. If, however, the kiwi's in that original country, it happens to be here, it's winter, but in New Zealand, it's summer, because we live on opposite sides of the equator. So therefore, it is a seasonal fruit, and therefore, I can say a shachriyon on a kiwi in America during the winter. Why? Because it is, mizman lezman, it's a seasonal fruit in New Zealand, where the fruit comes from.
This is all based on the idea that fruits are being brought from external, but actually today they're growing especially vegetables in greenhouses. So how would that be?
That's a great question. We'll finish with this. If a vegetable is grown in a greenhouse, let's say in America they're growing tomatoes right now in the middle
exactly,
of the winter.
Tomatoes.
Okay, so tomatoes are being grown right now in the middle of the winter. So that presumably makes it that it's not something that's bami zman lezman, it's something that's grown all year, and presumably you shouldn't make
even
a shachiyon.
Unnaturally growing it.
Yeah, I don't know if it should make a difference if it's natural or not natural, I'm not really sure. Halacha l'maisa, even Rav Moshe has a tremendously wild chiddush to allow fruits to say shech on fruits. He says l'maisa, it's better to err on the side of caution when it comes to shechianu. But at least the second night of Rosh Hashanah, where there's an extra tzad, you can say shechianu on new fruits. But on fruits that are refrigerated all year long, it's better to, even though he just explained why it should be mutter, he says it's still better to avoid it l'chatchila. So therefore, if there are fruits that are around all year long based on refrigeration, it's proper, it would be more l'chatchila to not say a shechianu. If something is a new fruit that comes from another part of the world, one can say a shechianu as long as it's seasonal in that part of the world.
So on carob, can you shechianu?
Carob is a different shaila for whatever example, whether or not you're supposed to say a shechianu on carob. And I don't remember why. I think because maybe it stays on the tree for... It's like an estrog. It stays darmish on the shana. So therefore, boxer, it's a more of a complicated shayla if you say shachiyana. The most people say it's more complicated, so maybe better not.
BensTorah.com